أما بعد فيا أيها الإخوة المؤمنون السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه العزيز أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان على النبي حرج فيما فرض الله له سنة الله في الذين خلوا من قبل وكان أمر الله قدرا مقدورا الذين يبلغون رسالات الله ويخشونه ولا يخشون أحدا إلا الله وكفى بالله حسيبا صدق الله العظيم. These two ayahs mean there was no calamity upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning that which Allah imposed upon him. It is Allah's way with those messengers who went before him, and Allah's decree is ever fulfilled. Those who convey the messages of the Lord and fear him and do not fear any other than him, and Allah is enough as a reckoner. وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Allah's name is Al-Hasib, and this is one of the banners under which the caravan of prophethood triumphs. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, wherever he may be in any age, has as his motto Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is Hasib, he is sufficient, he is enough, and a best trustee, a best guardian is he. And there is no surprise in this, because the Prophet is the one who is most sorely tested, the one who stakes the most, the one who loses the most, the one who is hated the most, the one who is loved the most. He is the one who is under Allah, the author of history. Nothing just passes him by. And so he says, Hasbunallah wa ni'mal wakeel. Allah is enough and an excellent trustee. But the question arises in our minds. We also are living in a time of tribulation, confusion, new burdens, threats, risks, promises. Does this mean a complete apathy or inaction? Does it mean that there is no emotional uproar or agitation? Are we to be machines, automata, robots? Allah is the author of everything. كَانَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ قَدْرًا مَقْدُورًا. Whatever might be the trials of a prophet, he is calm because Allah's decree will come to pass. And Allah is the Hasib, he is the reckoner, he is the one who will make everything come out right and justly in the end. What is the place of emotion? What, in other words, is the place of humanity? Consider the seerah of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At any point, but let's take it back to the first point. Right at the beginning, we find this superb balance between يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ. They convey the messages of their Lord, and a real humanity, a real self-searching, a real absence of knowledge about so many things. And how does it begin? Well, it's at the beginning of Bukhari, Kitab Bad al-Wahi, the book of the beginning of Revelation. أَوَّلُ مَا بُدِئَ بِهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنَ الْوَحِي الرُّؤْيَةُ الصَّالِحَةِ فِي النَّوْمِ. The beginnings of the revelation to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were the righteous dream, the true vision in his sleep. فَكَانَ لَا يَرَى رُؤْيَا إِلَّا جَاءَتْ مِثْلَ ثَلَقِ الصُّبْحِ. And every dream that he saw came as if it were the rising of the sun, the breaking of the dawn. The righteous dream is at or shortly before that time. This is one of the irhasat, one of the true signs that are not yet prophecy, but are the signs that the veil between this world and the real world is becoming perilously thin. Something, someone is going to break through. And we know that his state, despite the jahiliyyah of his people, was that he was soft-hearted, that he recoiled instinctively from the practices, from the cruelty, from the beliefs, from the worldview of his people. and these dreams came. ثُمَّ حُبِّبَ إِلَيْهِ الْخَلَاءِ And then solitude was made beloved to him. وَكَانَ يَخْلُو بِبَارِ حِرَاءِ وَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ And he began to go into retreats, solitary retreats, in the cave, Mount Hira, فَيَتَحَنَّثُ فِيهِ And engage in tahannuth in that place. What is tahannuth? Strange word in Arabic. A strange word for his people, because he was doing something that was breaking out from their norms, from their conventions, from their expectations of him. But it's explained, وَهُوَ تَعَبُّدْ اللَّيَالِي ذَوَاتِ الْعَدَدِ It means to worship for a particular number of nights. This was a practice of many of the Hanafa, the dissidents, the courageous ones, the ones who didn't fit in, those who believed in one true God and turned their back publicly or quietly on the idolatries and the practices of their people in Arabia, looking for something better, looking for something more human, looking for something that made sense. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seems to be following in their footsteps. قَبْلَ أَنْ يَنْزِعَ إِلَى أَهْلِهِ فَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِذَلِكَ So he would spend a certain number of nights in this tahannuth. We don't know exactly what he was doing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is before Ramadan, before salat, before zakat, before anything, before even Islam. But he was engaged in this tahannuth, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then when he finished the number of nights, he would go back to his family, وَيَتَزَوَّدُ لِذَلِكَ and get some food and drink for a similar period. So we can imagine a process of disenchantment with his world and gifts in his sleep from his Lord that were pushing him away from the city into the wild desert, into this lonely, bare cave, with a little food and drink and the presence of something amazing that he felt to be just beyond the horizon. And then it happens. ثُمَّ جَاءَهُ الْمَلَكُ وَهُوَ فِي غَارِ حِرَىٰ And then the angel came to him while he was in the cave of Hira. فَقَالَ لَهُ اِقْرَىٰ And he said to him, recite or read. This is the first commandment. And the ulama differ. Is this iqra part of the Qur'an or is this recite what's going to come which will be a part of the Qur'an? It's kind of a grey area. Has it come yet? Has Islam yet begun? With that moment, when does the great affair of Islam, of which we are all part, actually begin? This is a grey area, like the grey area of the irhasat, the prophetic dreams that are not yet prophecy, but are certainly not an ordinary material encounter. He's on the brink. Ma ana biqari, I don't read, I can't read, or what shall I recite? Qal, fa'akhadani ثُمَّ غَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّي الْجَهِدِ And he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he caught hold of me and squeezed me. غَطَّنِي means like choke, غَطَّ. It's something that made it difficult for him to breathe until I thought I was finished. I came to the end of my endurance. ثُمَّ أَرْسَلَنِي Then he let me go. فَقَالْ اِقْرَى And said, again, recite. And as we know, this happens three times, and on the third time, then we can say, it begins. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم Surprising words. Astounding words. He taught with the pen. This is being given to somebody who has never written with the pen. This is not the Lord of a particular people. But the Lord of himself, Rabbuk, but it's also to be the Lord of everyone, the Lord of the horizons. It is a Lord of revelation. There is the pen, but Allah is using this process of bayan, of exposition, to teach human beings what they didn't know. Things of the ghaib. The human mind can imagine things of unseen worlds, but knowledge only comes when the unseen world breaks through to us. Because our reach up to heaven is so limited. Allah's reach down to us is unlimited. The real truth about the unseen world has to come from Him. What we can work out under our own steam is very, very small. This is the first words that are being given to Him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Together with an awareness of how small we are. this great Lord who is communicating himself to you knows what you are and what he made you from. This alaq. Nobody pays any attention to it. Tiny little, what would a medic call it? Blastocyst or something. Tiny, maybe too small to see. Nothing. A bit of gristle. And what does he make of this? Al-insan. And only al-insan can be taught that which he didn't know. Only insan, only human beings with this apparently base origin can be noble enough to bear the weight of revelation and can be noble enough to know the difference between good and evil and can be noble enough to worship and to pray and to humble themselves and to make choices. So at the very beginning of the prophetic message, you don't get sharia, you don't get fiqh, you don't get commandments to do things, you get commandments to recite the recital of the Lord, the word, the uncreated word of heaven, and the rest will follow. فَرَجَعَ بِهَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُ. And Allah's messenger went back with them, with these verses, and his heart was shaking. يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُ. This is like really earthquake. Al-Rajifa in the Qur'an is like the earthquake at the end of time. Palpitating. Understandable, because he's seen it, he's seen an angel, he's had the message, heard the voice that is going to change history and change so many souls, the voice of pre-eternity itself. And then look what happens. Where does he go? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where does he choose to go in that state of need and helplessness and desire for counsel? فَدَخَلَ عَلَى خَدِيجَةَ بِنْتِ خُوَيْلِدَ. He goes to Khadija, not to one of his male business partners or to one of his contemporary of the male population of Mecca. He goes to his wife. And if you look at these key incidents that relate to the Qur'an itself in the seerah, you'll see the importance of his womenfolk, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as the trusted ones. She is the one who becomes his first convert, his faithful convert. She becomes Umm al-Mu'mineen, the first mother of the believers, Khadija al-Kubra. And at the end, after he's dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is holding the Mus'haf? Who gets it? It's Hafsa bint Umar, radiallahu anha. So any Muslim who thinks women are unreliable needs to think why the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, goes to a woman, and why his book, when it's finally complete, the only copy in the world at the time is given to a woman. That should revise our estimation. But he goes to her, radiallahu anha, فَأَخْبَرَهَا الْخَبَرُ, and he tells her what has happened. قَالْ لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. عَلَى نَفْسِي. He says, I'm afraid for myself, which means perhaps I'm going to die. Perhaps I'm possessed by an evil spirit. Perhaps I'm going to kill myself. I can't deal with this. All of these possible meanings of this thing that is blurting out. I'm afraid for myself. فَقَالَتْ, and see how serene she is, despite this extraordinary thing that has come over her husband. كَلَّا, and she reminds him of his worth. That's what the wife does when the husband is in a state of crisis. إِنَّكَ لَتَصِلُ الرَّحْمِ وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْضُومِ وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلِّ وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ. She gives him a list of four or five things which should enable him to regain his sense of confidence and awareness that he's not so unstable. This is not some kind of dementia. So what does she say? She says, first of all, you uphold the ties of family. Tasil al-Rahm, the first thing in that society. Really in any society, the basis of all ethics. You're good with your family. Mere family, myself, the extended family. وَتَكْسِبُ الْمَعْضُومِ, and you give to the poor. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلْ, and you endure misfortunes, particularly misfortunes put on your shoulders by other people. وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفِ, and you honour your guests. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ, and you help other people when the misfortunes decreed by heaven come down upon them. وَاللَّهِ مَا يُخْزِيكَ اللَّهُ أَبَدًا. By Allah, Allah will never humiliate you. Because of the quality of the man that she knows, with whom she has lived, she is giving him confidence and hope. radiallahu anha. And then she does an interesting thing. This is her decision, not his. فَانْتَلَقَتْ فِيهِ خَدِيجَ حَتَّى جَاءَتْ وَرَقَةَ بْنِ نَوْفَلْ Ibn Asad, Ibn Abd al-Uzza, Ibn Ammi Khadija. So she went off with him until she brought him to Waraqa bin Nawfal, who was her cousin. وَكَانَ رَجُلًا تَنَصَّرَ فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ who was a man who in the age of Jahiliyyah had become Christian. وَكَانَ يَكْتُبُ الْكِتَابَ الْعِبْرَانِي فَيَكْتُبُ مِنَ الْإِنْجِيلِ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَنْ يَكْتُبُ And he used to write, maybe it means Hebrew letters, and would write of the Injil what Allah decreed for him to write. وَكَانَ شَيْخًا كَبِيرًا قَدْ عَمِي And he was an old man who'd gone blind. So not an obvious person to take him to, but she knows in her wisdom this is a monotheistic event, this is a momentous event. And she goes to the family member who knows about such things. Even though he's not one of the famous ones of Quraysh or of any other tribe, he's an old man, blind, not part of the establishment, that he's the wise one, the outsider, who is going to help her to interpret this momentous event. And so she goes in with him. فَقَالَتْ يَبْنَ عَمِّي إِسْمَعْ مِنْ إِبْنِ أَخِيكَ And she says, Oh my cousin, listen to your nephew. فَقَالْ وَرَقَ مَاذَا تَرَى Waraqa says, what's happened? What's going on? فَأَخْبَرَهُ الْخَبَرُ And he told him what had happened. Waraqa says, هَذَا النَّامُوسُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عَلَى مُوسَى This is the law, the angel bearing the law, which Allah sent down upon Moses. You can see this is purely prophetic. This is there in the ancient books. If this is not prophecy, what is prophecy? Can we even use the word? This is the same thing that happened to Musa. The Iqra, recite, there is to be a book, there is to be a pen, there is to be a scripture that comes right at the beginning of this form of communication. This is Mosaic. Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam, with the Torah, fihi hudan wa nur, in which there is guidance and light. Then he goes on, and he says, Ya laytani fiha jadi'a, Ya laytani kuntu hayyan idh yukhrijuka qawmuk. If only I were a young man again. He's old, he's blind, he's on the way out. He can't really do much, but he knows this is history being made. If only I were a young man again. If only I was alive on the day when your people drive you out. Again, what's he thinking? Sayyidina Musa, alayhi salam. This tends to be what happens to prophecy. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks him, Awa mukhrijiyahum, are they going to drive me out? And he says, لَمْ يَأْتِ رَجُلٌ قَطُّ بِمِثْلِ مَا جِئْتَ بِهِ إِلَّا أُوذِيَ وَلَئِنْ يُدْرِكْنِي يَوْمُكَ أَمْصُرْكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَزَّرًا So he replies, never does anybody come with that which you are coming with without being opposed. And if I live until your day, when this becomes a public thing, I will support you with everything that I have. And that's the beginning of our story. That's the beginning of the story of Islam. A lot of lessons in that. Lessons, as I indicated, about the wisdom of women. خَدِيجَةٌ الْكُبْرَى الَّتِي بَذَلَتْ أَمْوَالَهَا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ يَنْتَصِرُ In poetry, رضي الله عنها. And also, the willingness to listen to others, even from outside the establishment, from outside one's own immediate religious framework, somebody who's involved with something that is far away, the alien. Listen to them as well, this hadith is clearly indicating. And then look at the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not some kind of obvious macho hero who can just deal with it and laugh it off. No, يَرْجُفُ فُؤَادُ His heart is shaking. He's doubting himself. He doesn't know what's going on. And he has to be reassured that he is a worthwhile person by his own wife. That's one of the beauties of the seerah. We can identify with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not some kind of divine figure who walks around on earth who actually deep down knows everything, is in control of everything, but a real human being. Basharun, mithruna, a human being like ourselves. And that is why the sunnah is a practicable thing. We can never achieve anything of his greatness. We can never pray with the depth with which he prayed, or fast, or do any of those other things, those great akhlaq that he manifested. We cannot change the world. As he changed it, we cannot carry the weight of revelation. But we can engage in this process of imitation, of emulation, of carrying as much as we can. Why? Because he was basharun mithluna, a human being like us. And that's part of the genius of Islam. Human perfection does not mean that human beings are no longer human. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله فإنه خير الزاد. وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. واعلموا أن الله قد أمركم بأمر عظيم، أمركم بالصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، فقال جل ثناؤه: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد، وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم إنا نسألك رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من سخطك والنار. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. اللهم إنا عبادك وبنو عبادك وبنو إمائك، ماض فينا حكمك، عدل فينا قضاؤك. نسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو أنزلته في كتابك أو علمته أحدا من خلقك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك، أن تجعل القرآن العظيم ربيع قلوبنا وجلاء أحزاننا وذهاب همنا وغمنا، وأن تجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير، وأن تجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. ووفق اللهم ولاة أمور المسلمين إلى العمل بكتاب الله وسنة سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين. عباد الله رحمكم الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم الصلاة.